Hello and welcome to the world of Pokemon. My name is Nick, but these guys call me their Game Master, and you're listening to Pokemon Rollout, a real play Pokemon Tabletop United RPG podcast. What's your name?
I'm Paul, and I play Charlie Time Change Pined. Pine, not pined.
Pine.
And not pine.
You pined for the time change.
Yes,
I guess.
Oh, no. I'm Michael, and I play Professor Rudimentus Bagged and Boarded Sneeze.
Did he pine for the time before the time change?
Charlie in past tense is Charlie pined. Or in love. There's so many fun things we can do with this. Hi, I'm Lydia, and I play Liliana Shadow Garden.
I wonder how many people just got yawned, like, you contagiously.
Yeah, right?
So, would I currently contagious. Be Charlie pining then? Like, if I'm currently Charlie?
Tense, Charlie pining.
Is Charlie
or Charlie Pines?
Charlie Pines.
Yeah.
If you turn his
name
fjords.
Into a sentence, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, the way it is, Charlie Pine is just subjunctive.
Mm. You're just subjunctive, man.
Yeah, or so it's lame. Referencing a tree, but...
So what would...
Oh, it is a tree, what isn't it? Oh!
What would future Charlie be? Charlie would be Pine?
Charlie will Pine.
Charlie would pine. In time, he'd pine.
The Charlie which will be pine at some point in the future.
Charles will pine.
Charlie will have pine.
Would I was Shakespeare'd.
Let's see. What?
You can't see me because I turned off my camera when I'm pointing at you.
They could do with rollout.
Dang it, Ball!
A heavy slam.
What are these Golek doing?
Show me your octahedron.
Towards you. Do I need to put a pass move? I mean, rollout's a pass move. Suppose that would work.
What are these Golek doing? Why are they staring at us? Where are we? What's happening? We were just in a cave.
Liliana quickly returns Sparky, if I can say that, as she covers her ears and just screams, I hate everything about this! I hate pop music! I hate colors! What is going on?
Charlie, he's wide-eyed and he has a huge smile, and so he's like, this place is amazing!
So Liliana's just on her knees screaming and holding her ears, and Charlie's running around very excited right now.
I do enjoy that I did specify that last time that most people are dressed similar to how Liliana is with her, like, stealth suit and stuff that she got.
That's why it's terrifying.
I see.
Like, at least I have other like clothes it. Over top of
not,
it.
Yeah, see, not the same, but yeah, similar stylistically to, and a bunch of them have that there. But can I get a perception check from everyone?
Yes. Yeah. Do you level also up? Want them from our archetypes?
Various levels of freak out. If your archetypes are out and about, sure.
Michael, be patient. It's coming.
Mm-hmm. Sneeze got a 10.
Liliana got a 10.
All right. Perception?
Perception.
Yeah, we have 5 dice at this. So let's roll those dice arenos. Ooh, this is a good roll.
Archie got a 9.
Charlie got a 18 plus 8, which is 26. Six. Thank you. And should Katana do that too?
Sure.
Okay.
Grunge got 11.
All right.
Katana, her observation skill, well, perception skills are not terrible. Oh, hang on. Still not terrible. 2d6 plus nothing. She perceives 11.
Okay. Everyone except for Charlie, as you're noticing all of this, Charlie, you notice this too, but something else catches your attention a little bit more. But all of you notice as these Golurk are heading towards you, people are giving you a bit of a wide berth. You're getting some dirty looks, honestly, from different people in the area around there. And these Golurk are heading steadily towards you. People are moving around you, and you hear someone go, psst, psst. And looking over, it's the girl that you have been chasing, essentially, since the desert, who's in an alley and is gesturing for you to come follow her. Charlie, you notice this as well, but you're a little bit more distracted by the fact that you just noticed that all of the clouds in the sky just skipped backwards and are repeating their formation.
Oh.
Interesting.
Hey, that's...
It's a time loop that just jumped back.
Huh, that's interesting. He probably doesn't say anything about it yet, because I think we're probably going to be going by where the girl is, but he'll bring that up later.
Oh, hey, we've been looking for you!
Sneeze is going to try to go over towards the girl with Archie. He's going to reach out for Archie to jump on his back.
Okay, Archie's a little unsteady, but jumps on. How big are Ambipom, by the way, just out of curiosity?
I was just going to look at that.
Good thing we got the Pokedex out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won't say no to that, but Ambipom, on average, are 3'11", so 4 feet.
Oh, he's just a baby.
Yeah.
He's also 45 pounds.
But oh, he's a fat baby.
I could give him a piggyback ride.
Lydia, in what world are babies 4 feet tall?
I don't know.
What babies have you been around?
Okay, some some puppies can be big. Elephant babies are pretty big babies. There are some big babies out in this world, mister.
Hey, he's not a baby anymore. He's like 8 months old.
Okay, all right, he's 8 months. Wait, 8 months is still a baby. Right?
Oh dear.
The evolved,
still count.
The evolved for archetype of fact. Just a baby.
You baby. He'll always be a baby in Professor Sneeze's eyes.
Yipes.
My son.
Alright.
Look at my son.
Alright, how's this girl? She's pissing at us.
Yep, she's kind of gesturing for you to head towards her in the alleyway. You're all heading that direction.
Yeah.
Yes.
As you start heading that direction, the Golurk do kind of speed up a little bit. Good news for you is all of their moves are melee. Except for Shadow Punch, which cannot miss. But you are right now just out of range of them as they're moving. So as you get there, she's like, come on, we gotta get around the guards. Hurry up. And so can I get acrobatics or athletics checks from everyone as you are trying to escape from the guards?
If only that was something Charlie was good at.
It's gonna be bad. That's not bad.
If you can convince me of something else you would use to keep up with this girl running through the alleys and escaping, you can use that, but acrobatics or athletics makes...
Like, are there, like, trash cans I can knock down behind us as we go?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes, you know, there are.
Like, all right, I'll do that along the way.
That would be part of the acrobatics and athletics since you're... shifting things and moving them around.
Charlie rolled a 21.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Liliana rolled a 17.
Okay.
Sneeze got a 10.
Okay. All right. I'll say you're bringing...
Sorry, I rolled a 17 in acrobatics, and Grunge rolled a... Wait, what is this?
Hopefully it's a
13
number.
In athletics. Okay. Math is hard.
I don't know what song this comes from, but there's a podcast I listen to where they do an improv emo band, and one of the ways they said that emo band came about is there's a lyric from like a 2000s, 90s era song that is just, math is hard, Golden my Age. Best friend sucks. Yes.
I was side comment here as well. I was walking through my school today, and someone was doing like a Spanish like oral exam or whatever, and they said "No me gusta la clase de matemáticas," and I gave them a thumbs down as I walked by. the teacher laughed, but
there you go.
Good. That was pretty funny.
You guys are heading down there. You're moving quickly enough and mostly keeping pace with this person as well. Yeah, actually keeping pretty good pace. In fact, most of you can almost outpace her. Professor Sneeze is lagging a bit behind, but Charlie is moving.
Because he got a monkey on your back.
Right, there you go. Charlie rolled highly enough to compensate for that, so you're able to get through narrower streets and down these alleyways that they still have this red neon in different areas, but it's more flickery and a little more sporadic. And so... As you're going through, you go through the narrow alleys, and eventually you lose these Golurk. You stop hearing them behind you, and the Organistas goes, all right, I think we've lost them. You gotta remember, is this the first time you've done this? You gotta get to the Colorless District if you're gonna make it through. You don't have the bits and pieces, not after passing through there. I mean, you should have mentioned this beforehand. I guess I didn't give you really time to mention it beforehand, but This you've got to figure out all these things and just get it all together. What?
We've never been here before.
Yeah, you kept running away from us, so we never even got a chance to talk to you.
Oh, did you start in the Colorless District? I thought you needed a higher level of clearance to end up in these places. I mean, my parents are indigo, but maybe closer. Yeah, indigo purple, depending on the month. I guess they're trying to move up a little higher, but we're figuring out all these things together. And I made it out because of that and had these connections. But I guess if you guys started Colorless, you really wouldn't know any of the rules, and it doesn't matter now. I know I said I'm indigo, but yeah, I'm ended up colorless with this until I figure out everything.
We're not even from here. We understand colors, but not in this area.
As you're saying this and she's working through to connect this, the air around you shimmers and four people walk out of the air.
Really quick pause here. I needed to retake that line. Instead, Charlie says, "I'm chartreuse. What does that mean?"
So there's the moment to parse that as she goes to there. You, especially Charlie, are able to see, just with your basic perception level, you're able to see that these people didn't walk out of the air. What it looks like is they basically became visible in a shimmering veil.
Okay.
These people are all dressed in, like, dark trench coats. They have sunglasses over their eyes. They're hidden away.
And these Organization 13?
Or almost. The Matrix? I was like, the Matrix?
A little more Matrix than Organization 13. They do have something red and neon on different parts of their body. Different parts of their body or different parts of their clothing, depending for each one. It's the strange thing where each one has a unique look, but the unique look is the same kind of unique look, so they look like they're wearing uniforms. Despite that, the other thing you notice is... Can I get a perception from everyone again?
You're...
Thanks for asking twice.
Okay.
Oof. I got 8, Archie got 2.
Okay.
Sorry, Charlie got a 9 on 5 dice.
Wow.
Ooh.
It's 3 ones. And then let's see if Katana beats that. Katana beats that with a 10 on 2 dice.
All right.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Liliana got 14 and Grunge got 15.
Okay. Liliana and Grunge, you would both notice, and Grunge kind of whimpers at seeing it. All of them have the same metallic shine to their eyes as you had seen from, for example, Tulip a while back.
Okay.
And so they all step back, and the girl immediately, like, shrinks and is looking to find a place when one of them speaks out and says, "Oh, we're not after you today. We're here for them."
Mm.
And she looks at you, then looks at them, and just takes off.
We brought this for you! Sneeze holds up the dragon scale.
She's still running. This is going.
Hold on to it for a little bit. He puts it back in the bag.
Liliana is going to gather up Grunge in her arms and hold him protectively against her.
Hey, so the four people...
What do you want?
We were told to invite you to tea.
Michael's in my faces.
What kind of tea?
She said you'd know.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Okay. Come with us. We need to take the back way, as you don't have the right authorization at the moment.
I'm chartreuse.
Okay.
This guy gives you a look, Charlie, that's like, you really don't feel like the vibe that we're trying to give off here, do you?
Liliana grabs Charlie's sleeves and pulls him closer to him, and she's leaning over closer to his ear and was like, "We are in disguise, remember? Why are you just telling everyone your name? God, what does it even matter? Everyone always knows our names."
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we follow.
Okay, so they take you through some winding back ways as you're going through. Again, this red neon is omnipresent wherever you are. It just seems to be a marker of this location or this area. The signs are made out of it more or less, and there's strips on the ground in regular patches, and so that's going through there. It's washed out by the desert sun, obviously, but it's still present in wherever you're going. And as you go, you're ending up, and you end up in a fairly nondescript, small, rundown-looking either storage space or warehouse type thing. You enter through there, and there are several more people, again, in those same, like, dark trench coats, and with the eyes there. You're seeing more mechanical parts to these people as you walk as well. The eyes are there. There's seems to be a port or something of some sort on the back of their necks. And there's a few other bits of just metallic difference or synthetic difference that is in and with them. And so they're bringing you through these areas. You get a couple of looks as you're walking through this warehouse area, but everyone seems to leave you alone. In this area, though, you start to see more colors of neon. Basically, all the seven colors of the rainbow here, with the exception of indigo and violet. Those seem to be much, much rarer. The majority of them actually seem to get either green or yellow as their coloration through it. But you can see a bunch of the other ones, including red and orange and some blue, though the blue, again, also seem to be a little rarer as well. You're taken through this into a small back room where a Gardevoir is sitting behind a desk. Looking at you. Mm-hmm. You're all brought in with the man who's been speaking, bring you in with them and says, "All right, leader, I've brought them all here." And the Gardevoir looks at him, goes, "Are you certain?" "All right, I understand." And he turns and walks and closes the door behind him. Mm-hmm. And then Ellie looks at you and says, "I apologize. There would be more questions than I would prefer to answer if they knew I could speak."
Is she speaking to us, or is she doing that telepathically?
She's speaking.
Okay.
To you. Okay, yeah.
I gather this is your domain?
Close.
Your gym?
Incorrect.
Good guess.
It should be noted that the archetype of fact is here as well. Wonderful to meet you, Archie. Archie kind of blinks from behind. Professor sneezes back and goes, "Ah, peculiar.
What's going on, Archie?"
Now, don't spoil the fun. Of perfectly good brains. If I am here, what does that make this world?
Oh.
Or at least this section of it.
It's fiction. And it's scary.
Yes, there is something rather, shall we say, unpleasant in this world's roots. But, yes, this world is a facsimile of sorts. It's not entirely fictional, therefore the archetype of fact can be present, but it is mostly unreal, therefore I have some sway.
How did we get here?
Shall we say the current owners of this little patch of unreality seem to have an interest in getting you out of the way. They have no idea what they're doing. They're children playing with very large, very dangerous toys, but there are some sparks of genius between them.
The current owners?
Perhaps holders is a better statement. They found this. They've been experimenting with these crystals in the desert for quite some time. They have an interest in using them to promote their idea of the future, shall we say.
Ah, the futurists. I guessed as much.
Yes. Perhaps I need to be a little less obtuse than I usually am. Let's see if I can do that for a change. So the Illamine Oasis, as you know it, is not quite reality, shall we say. There was a oasis town that was present. It was studying the crystals until it discovered, by almost complete accident, that through the use of a powerful enough Pokemon, the data stored within the crystals could be brought out, as it were, and what was brought out was the memory of a city. This could also be somewhat edited, and it's a little crudely done, if I may say, the part of this. You are in what I believe they call the control section. That is, the part of the city that is generally left untouched, observed, allowed to continue, allowed to repeat. There are several other sections, but we're trying to get through there. The one that you would have gone through if your Pokedexes had not been noticed and tagged to be sent in this direction would be considered perhaps the entertainment or the gym section, where you would be able to enjoy the different casinos and games of chance, all funneling money to the futurists, of course, and eventually challenge the gym, which is also its own section. Right there, the gym leader, by the way, is actually from the control group, which is a fascinating thing.
Control group as in, like, experiments?
More or less, they're the memories of former people encoded into the crystals. At least, that is the clearest understanding of this. The control section, which is the section you're in, they mostly attempt to leave it unchanged, or at least that was the goal until the uprisings started.
What uprisings?
Every time it restarts, it seems people start to gather, notice something's wrong, and try to change their circumstances. She smiles a little more at that.
So, quick out of character question. With the Illumine Oasis...
Ellie can hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
You said Ellie can
Ellie,
hear you.
No, Ellie can
oh,
hear you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figured.
I was going to let you know that you have no worries about getting sick here.
Oh, thank you.
That's good.
Thanks.
Do you remember what you said before we started recording?
Thanks for stopping that digital contagion.
So, Ellie, you may know this one as well then, too. Just to jog Lydia's memory here, if you please. Was the Illumine Oasis, was that one of the parts that was like... Michael, was that one of the parts that was clouded over on the map that we had looked at a while back?
The area like beyond the oasis was clouded over.
Oh, beyond the oasis.
A little bit beyond.
Yes. Gotcha.
I think the only thing we really know about the oasis is we fought that Kadabra in the episodes you weren't part of, Lydia, when Vigor was with us.
Mm-hmm. So then I very much don't remember anything.
Yes, no worries.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Thank you. I was... Yeah. Wondering about that.
Yes. Perhaps urgency is in order. I suppose I should use the other half of my archetype as well. The control group resets to its base state every 100 days. When it does so, any new changes, any anomalies that are still present within the system are removed, shall we say. This is day 52.
So this is a DC-owned property.
Oh dear.
So we have 48 days to get out or get deleted.
That seems to be the plan of the futurists, yes. Good news is, this uprising wants the same thing as you do, though not for the same reasons, and they wouldn't consider it quite the same. Challenging the gym from the control group has stalled, and that's usually the way to advance one's status or to bring forward problems pertinent within the city, so they're trying to jump that process, and getting to the gym challenge and completing it would be one way to get out. There is some overlap between the entertainment section, that's section green, for example, and the casino slash main Illumine Oasis section of the simulation, so there's a little overlap there. They've been trying to cross that. Those invisible walls seem to be in the way from here and there. And the third and final thing, which this is not what they are after, though they would seek for, is I did mention that using a certain powerful Pokemon is what brought this about. There is evidence, mostly the fact that I am here so strongly, that this Pokemon is not being used by its own will, but is somewhere within the system, being the one who is running the entire thing.
So if we were to free this Pokemon, it would provide a way of escape for us and perhaps others?
At the very least, it would collapse the system.
But what would that mean for anybody inside the system?
Most of these people have never been outside the system. Everyone you've met so far, aside, I suppose, from myself, has lived an entire life, as far as they know, within this world. Hmm. At least since you've come to this world, I suppose.
Interesting, okay.
So three possible ways of escape.
So how closely are you linked with all of this, Ellie, to this fictional realm, I guess you can say, alternate universe? Simulation?
Shall I say the terror in this was a little too subliminal for me, so I figured an uprising or two would bring it to the forefront.
Oh, of course.
After all, what use is an existential horror if no one contemplates it?
You got me there.
And you wanted to deal with us today and leave the little girl we were chasing after alone? But have you had any interactions with her before?
Well, every once in a while there are anomalies in the system. As I said, these are children playing with very large, very complicated tools. And so there are some bugs that keep popping up. Not bug types. No. But usually not bug types. We've had that one rebellious one here every once in a while. But he seemed to think that a doomed rebellion was no fun.
Sparky?
But errors in the system that become very useful, shall we say, to continuing the uprising of sorts. This girl you met is one such error. As you've seen, you saw her outside of the parameters of this simulation, wandering about. And right. Recruiting such people is a useful thing to do. And on the very last thing, I'm not entirely cruel, making sure she is in the system when it resets saves her from the horror of returning to it afterwards and discovering herself.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't... Wait. Okay, I think I understand that. And this new technology. Charlie, do you know how to turn this thing off and on again?
That would be
awesome.
You gotta,
like, blow on it a little bit, and then...
I mean, I can kick it if you want.
Just to give the overview, she'll lay out the more information. So where you are, what they understand of this situation. There are actually 8 districts within the control group that you know of. There's the colorless district, which is beggars, vagabonds, and criminals. You find out that you were being chased after by those Golurk, not because you were in the wrong area, but because you had Pokemon next to you that were clearly yours. Colorless district dwellers are not allowed more than one companion Pokemon, and you guys have Pokeballs. The red district is unskilled laborers. The Pokemon restriction is lifted at that point because it's assumed that you're using them for work or other things are going on. Plus, you're allowed to challenge the gym from the red district onwards, so there's no district there. But their unskilled labor is in the red district. Orange district is skilled labor and construction work. A lot of hardware building and things put together there. A lot of electrical hardware is also being put there, not software, but hardware. The yellow district is clerical work / IT troubleshooting. The green district is the entertainment district. Anyone can go there, even the colorless district dwellers, as long as they have the proper visa or the proper permits to do. It also runs next to District Aleph, which I'll mention later, because that isn't actually part of this group. The blue district is medical work / software development, because cybertech is a huge thing here, synthetics and cybertech. Mm. If you want to go there and you are not yourself at blue level or above, there is a fee to get to the hospital or doctor's office that gets larger the farther away you are from blue. Mm. So that's a bit of an issue as well. The Indigo District is law enforcement. It's mostly outsourced to Tyndall, which is what they call the upgraded Claydol, and Golurk guards for the lower districts. If you see someone with indigo colors in a district below indigo, there might be a legal cleansing going on and you should probably leave.
Okay. Gosh. That's a choice of words.
Mm-hmm. Fun stuff. And then the violet district is programmers, city officials, and those with generational wealth. They are able to countermand the authority of indigo level people. So they have legal authority over law enforcement.
Yeah.
Lovely fun group. So that is the control group that you have found yourself in. Next to it, the other sections or areas that they know of, District Aleph is the closest thing to the real world in the system. It contains some entertainment areas like casinos and other things like that. A site for the study of crystals. These crystals are generated by the system itself and so don't actually give more than limited information, but are present. And there is an exit to the outside world in District Aleph. This is where trainers usually end up when they approach the Illumine Oasis. This is the section that they're brought into, usually while they're going in via caravan or something else is going on. District Bait is the gym. Trainers that enter District Aleph are given access to Bait as soon as their Pokedex is acknowledged by the system and 3 badges are verified. City residents, so in your control group, they can place themselves on a list to challenge the gym. However, in going through the system a few times, Ellie has figured out that if you get your name on the list on the first day of the system resetting, you will be called to go to the gym on day 101, which doesn't exist. So right now, there seems to be a coding thing or something going on that is stopping anyone from the control group from being given access to District Bait. There might be a workaround, but that's where they are now. You have ideas from other things that people have heard in other conversations of District Gimmel, which seems to be a research site. This probably is where the futurists are doing whatever they are doing. And that is as much as is known about the situation at the moment. You get the feeling, you're not certain, but you get the feeling that District Gimmel is accessed through District Bait.
Is that likely where this powerful Pokemon might be being held?
It is unlikely to be anywhere else.
Sneeze is of the opinion that we should free a Pokemon that's being held against its will, because that's where his loyalties lie.
Yeah, ditto. And I don't just mean the Pokemon.
It's a ditto.
You're right. Floppy copy.
I will say if you
floppy copy that.
I will say if you've checked your Pokedex since you've been here, you will see that it now says ditto where it said unknown for floppy copy before.
Oh, no.
Because this is the futurist site and they named it first.
Charlie has not looked at that part of the Pokedex, and it's also...
And he never
exactly,
will.
Yeah, no.
If he I'm pretty sure that still says floppy copy right there. I don't know.
If he does, like, my Pokedex is glitching. This is weird. Really weird.
You've got 3 different areas, but the other 3 kind of broader things that we'll get through later is there are 3 broad avenues towards getting to what you want to do. The first is getting your name on the list and somehow bumping it up so that you can get into the gym. Going the more or less legal route, trying to social your way through it. One thing that Ellie notes almost offhandedly is that the different levels are based on the light that you emit. If you emit the right light from the right thing, or in the right hue and concentration, you will be assumed that that is your level. And the things that check that will check that and move you through. What's one power sneeze that people keep asking that you don't use?
That would be the Illusionist.
Yep.
And that would be... Yeah. Be
helpful now.
The second thing, the second way through is to go through the Green District and break down the walls between the Green District and District Aleph. Interacting with the trainers who come in is possible as an entertainer, as something there. In fact, one of the ways that the Uprising here funds themselves is by sending people to essentially steal from whoever walks in, through pickpocketing, through shell games, through whatever else. And so there is a limited amount of interaction going on there that can be done. If this place is already glitching, there may be a wall that isn't as solid as it looks, or as it seems, in that area if it gets prodded at and played with enough. The third and possibly most dangerous way to do things is to get this uprising actually effective enough that the control system starts to break down or cause enough chaos that the futurists feel they have to intervene personally, thereby creating a bridge between where they are and where you are. Again, this is the most dangerous, but this also lets you run around acting like a vigilante.
That sounds like the best option.
And these aren't mutually exclusive either. Yeah, it's a little bit. So,
right.
Yes, you can dress up in fun costumes and everything.
Yeah, but everyone will recognize us anyway, so what was even the point?
I guess to look cool? I don't know.
Yeah, but chopped off my hair for nothing.
Oh, no.
Liliana, not me. I like having short hair, so.
Right.
I, too, chopped off all my hair.
But this is where you are set up. Again, you have 48 days. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, we've just about reached the end of this, but before I say we have reached the end of this, I will let you know and let the listeners know we have a 30-day time skip.
Oh.
Ah! So it's going to be 18 days.
18 days.
Ah!
A little under 3 weeks. During that 30-day time skip, all of you will reach trainer level 40.
Ooh, boy.
You can have one Pokemon at level 45. So no more than one Pokemon at level 45. No more than, if you're doing a six-person team, no less than two Pokemon at level 42, and then the others can be in between. So 42 to 45.
Oh.
So yes, Michael, you leveled up. And yes, basically, there's training systems in this. You're doing a lot more moving around and acting out in these things, and you spend a lot of time just moving about. It helps that because you're not really supposed to be here, you don't really seem to have much issue with eating, and you don't seem to need to sleep nearly as much, possibly at all. Hmm. There is a little bit of concern.
No, there goes my skills out the window.
You can still eat and still benefit from eating.
Okay.
You just don't have to. It's a little bit of worry about that, but if you ever mention it to Ellie, or if you're ever thinking about it when you're in Ellie's presence, she looks at you and smiles and says, don't worry about it. But
so we're in Ellie's presence off and on throughout these 30 days?
Oh, yeah, she has essentially recruited you to her resistance system. Okay. And is backing you there. So, yes.
All right.
She is present and around.
Nick, one more time on the Pokemon, just to make sure I understand. Trainers to level 40. Yeah. One Pokemon can be at most 45.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the rules on the rest of them?
The rest should not be lower than level 42.
Gotcha.
But don't throw them all at level 44, unless you really want to, I suppose. I can't stop you. But
So the rest are between 42 and 45. Okay.
Yeah, between 42 and 44, yeah.
And there's going to be any of our Pokemon, so we could, in theory, bring in some of our old favorites, possibly, and get them a little bit beefed up?
I will say sure. That has the fun thing of you realizing that the Ferrocore probably isn't under control by the Futurists, but the Futurists can definitely access your Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since that's the only way you could get into this area.
Hmm. Do we know the types of the gym here?
Yes, the Illumine Oasis gym is Electric Psychic.
Okay.
Electric and psychic.
I knew this.
Yes. I remember that. Okay. So I think we can be working on multiple tracks here as we plan our escape and the rebellion. I think if we plan to apply for the gym, they might not let us in, but we can work. We'll burn that bridge when we get to it. And in the meantime, maybe we can try to frequent the casino and look for a way out while also acting as recruiters and pushers for the rebellion in order to get the Futurists' attention so that they can come in and disrupt things and we can escape.
Oh, I'm all for leading a rebellion.
Pushing all of these things, we'll be able to make our way out in one way or another, and who knows, maybe even if we can get the gym leader on our side, wouldn't that be something?
Become the gym leaders.
Ha! Or we become the gym leaders.
Chaos.
Oh no.
Nick, I do have to ask, how much access do the Futurists have to my Pokemon? Is that apparent to us? Because I have floppy copy on my person right now.
Mm-hmm. They are able to get your Pokemon to you and don't seem concerned about you taking them into a simulated world that they've trapped you in.
Fair.
Okay. Because the only way they're getting to you in the simulated world is if either the Ferrocore are dropping Pokeballs in the middle of the desert, watching them vanish, shrugging, and going away. Or they're bringing them to the Illumine Oasis Pokemon Center, and then it's being transferred to you by someone who knows where you are.
Hmm.
Okay. Okay, interesting. I'm just trying to think about how I want to handle that.
It might also be a slightly more automated system, because this is more electronic, so they can actually use the way Pokeballs are used in the Pokemon world, where it's transferred electronically, but it has to get to the Illumine Oasis system first and then tooled through. You know, what if you had a Rotom, you could shut this whole place down.
Charlie can't catch a Rotom.
Yeah! That's right.
Although, to be fair, that's never actually going to come to fruition. No one's ever going to hear that. Anyway, I'll just ask this more bluntly. Like, how concerned, if I were to send floppy copy out, is it going to get intercepted by the futurist, or is that something you can't answer as a GM necessarily?
I will not do that without giving you a chance to stop it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the only question is, how much would Charlie know about that? Like, how much would he be thinking about that?
Giving you a chance to stop it also makes sure that you're aware of it.
Okay. All right. That helps me think and consider those things.
That is where we will be for this week until we time skip. Thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapestry.org/Pokemon-rollout and on Facebook, facebook.com/PokeRollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Tap Room. As long as you're not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There you can join the conversation with creators and fans and become a part of the Pokemon Rollout community. Also, check out some of our great shows at tapestry.org, like Intermission, Michael and Ethan in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. A special thank you to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles, and feel free to check the show notes for the other music and sound effects used in this episode. Once again, I'm Nick, and you can follow me nowhere. Don't follow me.
I'm Paul.
Okay, you cannot perceive me.
Regarding Facebook, I will mention that we did approve Not a Robot's request to join us, so welcome, Not a Robot.
That's good.
Yep. And I think maybe I did. I have to go back and look at that. But anyways, we are aware of Not a Robot. But
yes.
Come chat with us in our Discord. We are currently in the midst of our March Madness bracket where we're finding our favorite gym leader. By the time this comes out, you might have missed the brackets, but you can still come and see the conversations and come say, well, my favorite gym leader is this one.
I'm Michael. You can follow me on Substack at Good Pilgrim. That's going to be where I'm most active as far as social media stuff, besides our Discord.
Shoot. I'm sorry. We're going to need to clap again. My audio cut out.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
This would be very ironic if Rotom reconstructed this episode.
Seriously? I know. I'm like, don't invoke its name.
Oh, no.
It's not Ellie we have to be worried about. It's Rotom.
It's Rotom. Rotom is the real terror.
Except Rotom would be an archetype of verve and truth. But...
yeah, that's what I said.
Just really excited about telling you about things.
That kind of fits Pokedex idea, Rotom Dex. Mm-hmm. It's like really excited to tell you everything.
At least like, it looked like it happened when we were actually like done recording the main part of the episode, so that should be a relatively easy edit, I hope.
Sure. We've got the Zoom stuff as backup if you need to splice some of your stuff in from there. It's nitpicky and annoying.
Ready?
Alright, here we go. In 3, 2, 1...
And I'm Lydia! Didn't want to miss that. Follow us on Instagram at Pokemon Rollout.
Yes, and oh, it'll be fun to be here in person for a bit. You won't follow me. I'll follow you. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollout, tell a friend, retweet us, and especially please rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeRollPodcast, and get some sweet rewards. Special thanks to our patrons, Dr. Audino, Peter Stadmuller, Micah Greenspoon, Penguin, Kyle Alberts, Taylor Bonforte, Daniel Mabry, David Harshman, Michael, Ask a Blood, Jeffrey Show, Casey DeFritis, Spencer Toole, Andrew Weil, Starlink, Vincent Nazaretian, Copperhead 9215, Run Fun Fan, Andrew Case, Arming Sword and Buckler, Froxus, Legendary, Scotty Newton, Ursa 93, Terry Fow, Wern the Patronizer, Autumn April Art, The Gaming Motion Artist, Kesha B, Justin Brennan, and Stephanie Reinauer. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it enough.
Oh, yeah. And I want to interject here, too, that I am the executive in chief of our Patreon, and I've been a little neglectful of it recently, so I know we've got several new patrons here. We haven't done any personal rollouts of rewards for you individually, but I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the show. It means a lot to us that you're willing to do that. We are going to be continuing with some rewards, like we're rolling out early releases of raw episodes, so like barely edited, with not much like sound effects or music or stuff added in, just the audio of us doing our playthrough. We'll release that early for patrons. That's going to be something that we're planning on continuing to do in the near future. So,
in those episodes, you get the bloopers wherever they fall. You get the bloopers.
The bloopers are just in
all
in
situ.
Au naturel. Bloopers on
naturel.
You might
even get bonus bloopers.
Yeah, right. Enjoy that and keep an eye out for other rewards and things. We'll continue to give you the stated rewards that you sign up for. And I'm going to be a little more vigilant about keeping track of our Patreon. So thank you so much for your patronage and keep an eye out for those rewards.
We really appreciate all that you, the gentle listeners, do for us. Thanks for listening and we'll catch you later.
I'm fighting off a slightly new cold, so yay.
No.
Stay away!
If you can be infected through this, we have more problems.
Ah!
Ellie, stop making people sick. I know it's cold and flu season, but it's not nice.
Yeah, I don't get why people like don't want to be recorded. We get recorded all the time. It's no big deal.
Alrighty. Should we clap so we can go to bed?
Let's clap. Let's clap so we can go to bed.
Do we already have the alternate title? You've been recording a long time, Lydia. Yay.
Not as long as Nick.
Not as long. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, our order is typically, it's like Nick's in first, always.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Followed by either me or Michael. And then usually Lydia's the last one. But I was the last one this time.
Mm. You were just missing out on so many funny things, Paul. That's why I had to be recording longer.
like there's this thing dropped in random, and I don't have any clue what the context is for that thing. I can't claim that.
That's true, and what a thing to pop up in random, too. That's true. So, Paul, what kind of otome men are you going to fall for? What's your trope flavor?
Yikes.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
Tapestryradio.org.
From our fancy to yours.